There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday, hour number two. Glad you're here. Live local talk and the phone number 343-0106, 343-0106 also works on the text line. Still, thank you. Thank you. Suggestions on where to locate, if they were going to move the childhood home of Hank Aaron away from Hank Aaron Stadium, where would you locate? A lot of good ideas. I don't know any that make as much sense as Chester's does to me and use it. Wherever the worst leak is at Government Plaza, you would put the house on the roof there and make sure. It's a joke, folks. Calm down. Angelo, check it in from Mobile Bay Coins. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going good, and I tell you what's going good, too. I heard somebody the other day who had listened to us talk. He said, yeah, I'm going to go down there and take advantage of the fact that I'm not paying sales taxes on money. Explain.
Yeah,
I know what he meant.
It's so crazy, and so many people have argued over the years about why they should or shouldn't have to pay sales tax. And trust me, I don't want people to have to pay sales tax. And that's the cool thing is now you don't have to. You're buying gold or silver bullion, buying some cool United States coins, maybe some currency. Who knows? Maybe you're picking up some Father's Day gifts. You're not going to have to pay sales tax on any of those items I just mentioned.
Yeah. Explain that, though. If people have, I mean, you and I have talked about it several times here, but something that you worked very hard on and with folks in the legislature to change the way the law was. What was it? But when you say money or bullion, describe exactly how, what items are they? I mean, is it, can I come in and buy a silver dollar? If I come in and buy a silver dollar from you, am I paying sales tax or not?
Yes, sir. If you come in and buy, if you buy a United States silver dollar,
right,
or an old piece of United States currency, no sales tax. If you're buying a piece of gold or silver bullion, so that's something sold based off of market prices. So, you know, spot price is $1,300, and it's going to be $1,340 per ounce. No sales tax on those items. If you're buying coin supplies and books, things of that nature, those are still taxed. Jewelry, sterling flatware, those things are still taxed. But when you're looking at investing in gold and silver bullion or rare U.S. coins, no more sales tax on those items.
That's great. All right. So people can come in and do that for Dad. And let's talk about, with Father's Day coming up as well, I'm going to ask you something. You know what I'm going to ask you? Did you get a new supply?
Sir.
Did you get
a
new shipment?
Stocked up well.
And that would be what? What am I asking you about?
Those awesome Open L knives. As a matter of fact, somebody came in the other day and was so frustrated she couldn't decide. So she ended up buying, I think, about 8 or 10 knives. And this was for one person. But she said she's got gifts covered for probably the next 6 events now.
That's brilliant, actually. That's fantastic.
But you got to admit, it's hard to decide. You look at those outdoor Open L knives with the cool colored handles, the stainless steel blades. Then you look at that little keychain knife, which is really cool and sort of cute in and of its own right. You look at that gardening set that your mother loves to death. There's just too many choices.
Well, come fret over the choices at Mobile Bay Coins. Give us directions to come in and check out everything going on at the shop.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go on to Facebook and start following us there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. And yeah, that is a big deal. What's changed there about you go to buy? I mean, if you're doing like gold or silver bullion for an investment, right, or U.S. currency for an investment, it's money. But in the past here in Alabama, it wasn't that way. I think Florida and some, but you had to pay taxes on it. Very strange. All right. A couple stories here. I'm bouncing around. I know these aren't as interesting as what else we have at the top of the newscast there from the national news or even our local news partners. I mean, most of it, I have no real apartment or house fire story for you. I could go get one. Or the raccoon that's on the ledge. Right? Raccoons on the... Those the Paul Turnity story. I mean, I guess we can do the Paul Turnity story if you want to, about people getting off of work for their pets. But this, I think, is pretty important. I know it's not going to be as interesting to most folks as a story about Paul Turnity. But FEMA, right now, we talk about being at full employment in this country, right? That where this economy is chugging along and we're at this great, I think it's like 3 or 4%, which in essence is full employment in the country. Well, one of the groups being affected by this and for some other reasons is FEMA. And right here at the start, you know, pretty close to the start of hurricane season, FEMA is having big trouble finding people to come work. They're having big issues. They're calling up people and they're not responding. Maybe some of those people have taken other jobs, paid. I don't know. A story from Reuters says about 4,500 Federal Emergency Management Agency staffers. This is taking back to last year as Hurricane Irma bore down on Florida last September. They said with 4,500 Federal Emergency Management Agency staffers already helping survivors of Hurricane Harvey in Texas, FEMA Chief Brock Long, which I love that name. If I change my name ever, it's going to be Brock Long. Brock Long told managers in an internal memo to ready every member of the agency's on-call reservist workforce for deployment. In the following months, thousands of FEMA reservists, who account for about 50% of the agency's disaster response personnel, would then descend on Florida, Puerto Rico, California, and elsewhere to help with efforts after an unprecedented string of natural disasters. But all would not respond. About 500 reservists, or one in every 12 workers, ignored FEMA's deployment request, current and former officials told Reuters. Patrick Hernandez, who oversees FEMA's disaster workforce, said in an interview, "We didn't even hear from them. We need to get people here who understand the system, adhere to the protocols." And they didn't hear from them. With the 2018 hurricane season already underway, FEMA is scrambling to hire more people who are willing to depart at a moment's notice for assignments that can last for months at a stretch. I think that paragraph is pretty important, too, why FEMA has issues getting people in, because, you know, you sit around and then you could sit around with no work and then you go and you're gone for a long time. Internal documents obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request show FEMA's disaster response force is understaffed, this is as of this week, y'all, by 26%. Last year, they revealed many of those who signed up, like we said, didn't even show up when they were called on. That comes at a cost. At times, staffing shortages force FEMA to shuffle personnel from one disaster to the next, and in some cases rely on workers who do not know how to do the job effectively, according to interviews with 15 current and former FEMA workers. Some local officials say the agency's central mission, getting federal aid where it's needed, is undercut by the constant turnover. They have no knowledge of the system. They don't know anything about how to fill out they have no knowledge about how to fill out forms and do anything but fill out forms, said Junior Shelton, mayor of Central Louisiana, of course, one of those cities that was affected by the flooding back in 2016. He said, "We're still sitting around waiting for that money to get here." Now, think about that from the flooding back in 2016. Now, this continues to get worse. They said the extraordinary string of domestic disasters in 2017 continues to weigh on FEMA. With thousands of workers still out in the field, official figures show that 33% of FEMA's disaster response workforce is available for deployment. You get what I'm saying? Out of the entirety of the FEMA force, which is already lower, going into hurricane season, you have 33% of the total that's available for deployment. So if you had more than one hurricane impact or some other kind of disaster impact hit at the same time, think about the splits. Some of the specialties within FEMA are already stretched thin. Only 13% of the workers who direct federal aid to pay for rebuilding costs after the disaster hits are currently available. Only 13% of the total. So we get a big storm in our area, you know, FEMA's going to come in and get these checks to get people back on their feet. You've got 87% of the work staff that's not available. Also, they say, unlike military reservists, those who work for FEMA don't have a guarantee that their regular jobs will be available when they return home. You know, that's what I'm saying. You have a job where you don't work for a long time and then you go and you're gone. It doesn't work for most people. As a result, most people who work for FEMA are retirees who don't need steady work, or recent college graduates who don't yet have a full-time job. Well, that used to be the truth, but in this economy, most people, worth a grain of salt, are getting a full-time job. Now, military reservists are allowed to turn down up to 3 assignments each year, meaning FEMA cannot count on a full reserve force during peak periods. Also, according to internal figures, FEMA's reservist corps has grown by roughly 1,000 workers over the past year. Still, it remains 3,700 workers short of the 10,949 reservists. It's determined it needs to be able to respond to several, 3 disasters at once. Some reservists say they're not in a position to accept a months-long assignment far from their homes. So, I mean, the story goes on and on in a lot more detail, and I'll put this out on my Twitter feed. But we are going in, we're in hurricane season. And we have, with, at least according to the Reuters story, an already inadequate number of people with FEMA. Now, that can be argued. We can get into that discussion, how much is needed, what's needed. But only 33% of that total number is available. The others are already still working storms from before, haven't shown up. So let's say we have a situation like last year. Let's say we have a hurricane hit, you know, the Atlantic coast, hits the Carolinas, and then one comes into Texas, or one comes into Florida, and another one, you know, goes into Georgia or something like that. You got to split the force. Something to think about. All right. Full story over at twitter.com at FMTalk1065, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Thank goodness. So in the short term, we don't have anything in particular to worry about. Dr. Bill says he doesn't see at this point any kind of major development out of that clustering of thunderstorms down off the Yucatan. Maybe. Not even a strong maybe. Maybe a tropical storm that would affect the area down near Brownsville by the weekend. Maybe. But that is not a, it's not a run and panic. It's not a, just a, what it maybe could do. All right. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's required for FEMA, but I think FEMA has got some issues here. If you're looking for a job where you're not making money, but then all of a sudden you go to work and you could be gone for months. So you got to get, most of us would have to have a gig, would have to have something to do, work to do until we got, even if you paid good money with FEMA, we got to have a job until it's time to go, right? Then it's time to go. And if you got to be gone for months or whatever it is, your job's not going to be there when you get back. So FEMA's kind of in a tough position there. Instead of having, maybe, how about fewer people that are better qualified, you know, instead of making it a full-time deal, instead of making it like it is, say, you know, you've got office hours or whatever until you're deployed, but have these people that can do maybe more work in a given day. I don't know if that's possible or not, but that's just a suggestion. Also, we'll get to the Trump. Now, this is, a lot of people said, oh, finally, the Nobel Committee has nominated Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize. Not exactly. Although, remember, it was months ago I said, when this North Korean negotiation discussion started, I said, if President Trump is successful in a move towards, or hopefully, denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula, should he win the Nobel Peace Prize? Remember, Barack Obama won it without even doing anything. And just on the promise that he might do something. The Daily Caller has a story right now that says Norwegian lawmakers nominate Trump for Nobel Peace Prize. And it says 2 Norwegian lawmakers representing the populist party in the country's legislature have nominated President Donald Trump for the Nobel Prize after his summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Lawmakers told their local media that Trump has, quote, taken a huge and important step in the direction of disarmament, peace, and reconciliation between North and South Korea, end quote. Nomination comes after counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, took a swipe at former President Obama's own Nobel Peace Prize. Come on, Kellyanne, we've all done that, right? I just did. The Nobel Committee notes that one of the categories of people eligible to nominate individuals are, quote, members of national assemblies and national governments, cabinet members and ministers of sovereign states, as well as the current heads of state, end quote. They also rolled this stat out. Currently, there are 330 candidates for the Nobel Peace Prize for 2018. I guess I never really dug into that. I thought it was going to be a smaller list, you know, of people. But now you're looking at right now, the running total. Yeah, so, I mean, 330 people in line with President Trump. All right, so there you go. Let's grab some phone calls here, and Danny's been holding on in Mobile. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good. You want to talk some FEMA with me?
Yes, just a reminder that during Katrina, it took FEMA approximately 4 to 5 days just to get water to the Superdome in New Orleans. This was after the fact, of course, but in keeping in mind with the numbers that you just gave out, which is kind of alarming, really, if people would understand that the last several decades, the federal government has basically, whether by intent or not, people have become more dependent on the federal government for help.
That's true.
And less self-reliant. With today's technology, information is easy to obtain than ever before. And if you spend some of that time, you don't have to become crazy about it, but if you just spent some of that time researching information on how you can maintain whether it be a short-term survival situation like after a hurricane, most hurricanes generally, you may be 2 or 3 weeks without power, and it may take longer to get your structure back, especially if you're relating, you know, like you just said, relying on help from FEMA. I mean, 2016, these people haven't gotten their money that
they
needed.
Yeah, think about that. Wow.
So, yeah, I can't even imagine that. I don't even want to imagine that. But simple things that they always put out about preparation for a hurricane can mean so much, provided that you are able to, you know, secure inside. Obviously, if you have to leave, you're going to have to make other preparations. But just, I mean, canned food items, for example, they have a 2-year lifespan. That canned food, the same canned food you would normally eat out of, you can eat that straight out of the can. It's already cooked. It's good to go. You just got to heat it up if you want it hot.
No, I think what you're getting to, Danny, so what you're getting to is you're saying that instead of worrying about the anemic numbers of people that could respond for FEMA right now, it's just more incumbent upon people to take care of themselves? Is that?
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I think that's always true. You're never going to get disagreement from me about people being self-reliant and responsible for themselves.
If you go back to our great-grandfathers and a little bit further back, they didn't have help from the government for disasters and everything. They had to do everything themselves. And
they also had hookworm. They also had hookworm. I don't want to go that far back, you know. but you know, I think there's a mix. I think just saying,
people do come together. If you live in a community, and I mean, people come together during the times of disaster. I mean, you have a lot of the looters and stuff and so forth. We won't get into that. But you have a lot of people that come together during that time, during natural disasters, to help each other out. More things that you can acquire and put it, if you've got a garage, if you can just stockpile some stuff, you don't have to be one of these serious hard preppers, nothing like that. Just enough food and water, batteries, and stuff like that to get you by a couple of weeks or longer, depending on your family size. And you'll be surprised at how much better you will be prepared to deal with that situation when the time comes, should it ever come.
Well said, Danny. And I appreciate your call there. I think you do have a mix still. I think it's incumbent upon people to take care of themselves, but also there are some things in a broad scope. The older I get, the more I go, you know, you can do for yourself, but there are some things that happen where you do, need your community to step up, friends to step up. If you don't have those, yes, is a response from government at some level needed? Sure. Do I think the pendulum is farther than it should be on the event? Yeah, I do. But if people are dependent on that, and then you get this story that FEMA is right now going into hurricane season with 33% of their force, only 33% of what the FEMA force, the 4,500, could respond to a disaster today. So like Danny said, pack up, save up, get the canned goods. The beef stew is good, too. All right. Hey, coming back, Cam Marston, host of What's Working, is going to join us as we roll on. This is Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
5:36, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday, Sal. I'm glad to have you here. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, deals aplenty for you to check out, and also giveaways aplenty to check out through a couple different Facebook page, Twitter feed, also the website, good old-fashioned website, fmtalk1065.com. All the details on our Summer Better Than Others giveaway. First week, it's now. The contest is on. People at the Carrot Patch today dropping their names and getting qualified, also qualified to win a $50 gift certificate from the Carrot Patch. But when we draw from these weekly winners, that's going to put you in the grand prize drawing, and there'll be like five of y'all for a $5,500 prize package. Check out the details on Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, and our website. Although, after hearing, you know, a little bit of what my buddy Cam Marson is going to talk about tonight on What's Working, I don't know if I want to go to any of those platforms. He got me scared, Cam.
I tell you what, Sean, it scared the daylights out of me. I will freely admit that I had no idea the depth to which people are, the bad guys are going through to get your and my password these days. The show tonight is on cybercrime, cybersecurity. And I called on an old buddy of mine named Scott Klozowski out of Oklahoma. He's got a very successful cybersecurity firm. And I was just going to dance around the topic of what big companies are doing in order to protect themselves. And he said very clearly, it's not big companies, Cam. The big companies are the one you hear about. But it is predominantly small, medium-sized companies and individuals. And the reason you don't want to hear about them is that they're embarrassed. But he says his phones are full daily of people that have been hacked and have been extorted and have had $50,000, $100,000, $250,000 stolen from them through methods that I was absolutely clueless about. And I tell you what, I've been on the, since that call with Scott, every email, everything I get, I look at with suspicion. It really shook me up a little bit of how thorough they are.
Well, I think that's one of the keys, what you just said there, and I can't wait to hear your conversation with Scott tonight at 6, but my default is suspicion. I mean, here at our business, or I'm helping friends or family with things, I said, just assume everything's, well, maybe I use an expletive, baloney. I assume everything is baloney until proven otherwise, but still, even in doing that, you can have, you know, still, even you might not make the mistake, but somebody at your company, Cam, could make the mistake, and it could affect you.
It calls it a human firewall. That's the greatest weakness in organizations, is not me on my computer, but it's somebody on my team, somebody deep internally on my team who unwittingly gets an email or something or clicks on a website or something and opens it up, and they might not see anything on that website, or they may see something innocuous, and they say, ah, this was a mistake or something. But once that click is made, the door is open. And the scheming is going on in the background. He said, Scott went as far to say that a lot of these criminals have such a backlog of passwords that they've secured that they just work months and months working the passwords. They'll spend a day or a week gaining passwords through unwitting people like me previously through that call, and it just goes into a file, and they've got enough work for months to extort and steal. And it's like you and me getting a backlog of work to do. They have a backlog of passwords to utilize to steal from customers. And one of the things he told me about, Sean, that I had no idea existed, is that they will take on the persona of someone you and I know. Now, they've targeted you or me, and they will take on the persona of you, someone you or I know. They'll use their email. They'll use things that they've picked up over the months of watching exchanges of conversations between two people. And they'll reach out and say, hey, was thinking about you. Here's some pictures from the old day. And I tell you what, I know enough people that if they were to send me a link about pictures to the old days, the first thing I would say is, I thought we had agreed to bury those.
I thought we burned those, yeah.
I would say is, I love to remember. I'm going to click on it. And
yeah.
I know this guy, and we've been talking about it, and they've suddenly inserted themselves as the bad guy. And next, you know, I'm exposed, and I get an email. Got it all. For you to get control of your computer back, you need to send me $200,000, $2,000, $20,000, $200,000. The depth of deception, the cleverness. I mean, maybe I'm a naive guy, just live in my own little world, but that really caught me off guard.
Well, that one is some serious bait. There would be a danger for me as well, because if you see somebody who's one of your buddies and pictures, I mean, Lord knows, email, there's a percentage even of our work emails that's spent sending pictures from over the weekend. You know, what'd you do? Here we are. We went here, there, and the other. You know, if something you're not putting on social media, you send directly to somebody. Yeah, that's something that could catch me as well. So I hope a bunch of people just heard that. That's something to be on the... Of course, you're going to hear more about this tonight, but be on the lookout for it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you... I'm biased to think that people are good and my friends want to help me, and they do. But it's when that criminal, like I said, has very carefully taken on the persona of someone that they know I know and has crafted a very careful email based on the dialogue that they've seen going back between me and this guy that I know, and just say, click here, and you have no reason to suspect it. And similarly, they watch the CEOs of companies, and they've identified these people, and they're following them, and they watch them on social media, and they say, okay, I see that the CEO is out of the office because he or she is posting on social media these great trips from the Caribbean or pictures from the beach. So I'm going to take on the persona of the CEO and send an email to his or her admin and say, hey, I'm at the beach, got a request from a client. The client needs 200 iTunes cards for their event. Would you go ahead and send them 200 iTunes cards at $100 a piece? And the admin says, this looks real. The boss is at the beach. They're using the words and the pronouns and my nickname just like he or she normally would. I'm not even going to doubt that it's not the boss. It isn't the boss. It's a well-crafted criminal ploy. The iTunes cards goes to some place you've never heard of before, a P.O. box. They pick them up and they're gone. And the CEO goes later, hey, what's this $20,000 charge to iTunes? And the admin goes, you ordered that from the beach. No, never ordered that from the beach. And suddenly they realize they've been gotten.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I want to go back here for make sure people are paying attention. And we're talking to Cam Marston of What's Working tonight at 6 o'clock and every Wednesday night at 6 here on FM Talk 106.5. But so gone are the days, really, of the Nigerian prince scam, right? So the Nigerian prince scam, not so much in play, but your buddy Cam sending you an email with, hey, do you want to see pictures of, you know, what our kids were doing the last day of school or at summer camp or something like that? It's that detailed.
That detailed. And taking on your nicknames and references to things that only you and this buddy would know because they've been monitoring your correspondence and waiting to pick up on these little things.
How do you is Scott, y'all get in a, is there a defense? Can he give us any? Because that one is, you know, where my normal, hey, everything is baloney, but I wouldn't, I mean, if I wouldn't know how to tell somebody to protect themselves against that in the first place.
Deep suspicion is the only way, or to reach out to your buddy and say through perhaps another channel and say, hey, I just got this email. Is this you? You know, text that buddy. I just got this email. It looks tempting. Is this you? You know what? I don't know what the one of the things Scott and I did not talk about is how to make sure that that scenario, which I can tell you right now, as much as I know about it, I'd still be tempted to do it. How to defeat that scenario other than deep, deep suspicion. And I don't like that feeling. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one that always thinks somebody's out to get me. It's just, I don't like that feeling, but I'm at the same time horrified of the consequence of making a foolish mistake now that I know what I know.
And now you've taken this discussion, I can't wait to listen tonight, to a higher level. A lot of people, I mean, are familiar enough not to fall for pretty simplistic scams. But this, what you're laying out, is something that I think would catch any of us on a given day.
I think it's absolutely human of us to fall for this, just due to the complexities and the intimacy through which the emails come. And the, like I said a number of times, even the language they use is something that only a close friend, an old friend would use, and you recognize the language and think, there's no way this is my buddy.
Wow. Holy cow. All right. If somebody, obviously, this discussion tonight at 6, if people want to go back and check out, if they want to re-listen to tonight's episode or listen to other episodes, where are you? And this is, I want to make sure, is this the real Cam Marston that I'm talking to? I'm going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I believe it is the real Cam Martian. So, real Cam Martian, tell me where on the web people can safely go and listen to shows and get more information about what you do every day.
Yeah, cammarston.com is the website, cammarston.com. Across the top of the screen is the link for the podcast, and you can click on that. You can find tonight's show on that link, as well as previous shows. We focus on workplace and workforce trends, and I try to get the guests with the best insight into what's going on out there that can help people like you and me better function in our workplace today.
Well, you've scared some sense into me, and I will be listening tonight. I hope a lot of people do, because this is really important information. Cam Martian, as always, I appreciate your time and what you're talking about on your show. Thanks for being on with me.
Delighted to be a part of it, Sean. Thank you.
I'm still not sure it's real Cam Martian, but it could be. 147, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Jared, that one's scary as well. Jared sent a text in here with a screenshot. It says, dear customer, although it says, Jared, I would have caught it because it said, dear customers, in plural versus singular, but it says, dear customers, your Apple ID was used to sign in to the new device and make a payment via the App Store. You know, one thing that gets the criminals is their grammar and spelling is sometimes looks a lot like, I'll quit beating up on fellow media members. And it goes on to say, this is the details of your activity. You see where I'm going, Jared? Like everything else on there, it looks like the proper Apple logo. This is why grammar is important. It helps you pick out the the scammers. But obviously, from what was just laid out by Cam Martian, still, they can get past you. But yeah, that looks like, so what Jared had sent me this link, it looks like something that you would get maybe from Apple. It says your account was signed in from elsewhere, and you click a link to cancel a payment that's going to be made by you. And of course, our normal inclination would be, I got to stop that, right? I've got to stop that payment. You do that, and then you've done what the hackers want. Yeah, and they misspelled quite a few things here. So those things can help you, but still, I mean, you got to listen to the show tonight. I got a little preview from it from Cam Marston, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that is well beyond the Nigerian prince scam. It's at a new level. All right, I've also been lamenting that as goes the current state of world economy, as goes the cost of living, right? Interest rates, inflation. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, Jerome Powell speaking right now. Can we go to that? We go to that? Let's go to this. It's for a couple minutes here. Fed Chair Jerome Powell talking about the monetary policy going forward. If we can go straight to that.
You know, to make sure that maximum employment happens in a context of price stability and financial stability, which is why we're gradually raising rates.
Just to follow up on Donnelly from the LA Times, on both inflation and unemployment, the new projections for unemployment is lower than before and inflation higher. And how much is the Fed willing to accept that's an overshoot for both of those before it affects policy?
You mentioned that unemployment moved down, inflation moved up by truly small amounts. If you look at the summary of economic projections, things are moving by just a tick or even a semi-tick between now and March. And you ask, you know, I mean, I think we take a longer run view that we're shooting for, we're aiming for, 2% inflation around 2%. We know that it'll be above or below. We didn't overreact, I think, to inflation being under 2%. We won't overreact to it being over 2%. And I think we'll always be using our tools to move inflation in the direction of the target if it moves away from the target persistently, as I mentioned. In terms of unemployment, you know, we have to acknowledge that no one really knows with certainty what the level of the natural rate of unemployment is, that the rate that is sustainable over a long period of time. And we know that probably that rate has declined as the U.S. population has become more educated, as it has become older, older and more educated people have lower unemployment rates. We don't know this with precision. So we have to be learning as we go. We've got to be looking at data and informed by what's coming in. And as I mentioned, I think at the last press conference, estimates by members of the committee have moved down by a full percentage point since maybe 2012, as we've learned, as unemployment has dropped and inflation hasn't really reacted. So I can't give you a precise number, but I just, you know, we will be very much informed by incoming data. And this uncertainty is why, the fact that we live in that uncertainty is why we've been gradually raising rates. We're not waiting for inflation to show up. We're go ahead and moving gradually and trying to navigate between two risks, really. One would be moving too quickly. Inflation never gets back to target if we do that. And the other is moving too slowly. And then we have too much inflation or financial instability, and we have to raise quickly. And that can also have bad outcomes.
Chris Condon, Bloomberg News. Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions about the interest the Fed pays on excess reserves. And you mentioned, of course, that the IOER was raised by the committee 20 basis points. And that's a result, as you said, of the upward drift of the effective Fed funds rate in that target range. Do you think that that's going to resolve that issue, or might there be further action required by the committee in the future to continue lowering IOER relative to...
All right, well, so we're going to get into... I tell you what, we'll get this audio cut up and listen to a lot more of it tomorrow morning as a discussion of what you had to know was coming, right? Inflation, or at least the attempt to tamp down inflation, which is actually already happening now, and tariffs will increase inflation in the country. It's just, it's not political. Don't get enraged with me. That's just how things work. And that's something that is a real issue. The economy's doing great right now, but if you monkey around with this and let the inflationary measures stay unchecked, or you don't have measures to deal with inflation, we could kill the golden goose right now. That's Fed Chair Jerome Powell discussing their monetary policy going forward here, what they're going to do with rates. You heard him say it. The Fed has just hiked rates. Those are going up. More details coming up with the news and Feinbaum on the way. See you in the morning.